Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome to the Friday Football Betting Show. In the next half an hour, we're going to look ahead to the weekend's action, the title race. It's still a title race, but many feel Manchester City have one hand on the trophy. Joined by Leon Blanch of Boyle Sports and Off the Ball commentator Stephen Doyle. Good afternoon, lads, and we'll get into it now in the next few minutes. But before that, Leon, I want to look at this week's offers, the Boyle Sports offers. Before we get into them, by the way, if you are gambling, gamble responsibly and never bet more than you can afford. So let's look at the offers. Manchester United to win. They play Chelsea on Sunday, 4:30 at Old Trafford. Both teams to score was 7-2. It's now 11-2. And as bad as United are at the moment, 7 defeats in 9 games, Chelsea are fairly wretched away from home.
Yeah, they are. Look, it seems that between Arsenal, Chelsea and United, none of them really want to grab this top four spot. But this is a huge opportunity for United to beat one of their rivals at home. Gary Neville thought they played okay against City. Roy Keane thought they were dreadful. I think Souness thought they were dreadful as well. If you just go back to 1-0 and Lingard had an easy chance to make it 1-1, De Gea makes a howler. And I just think United now at the minute, it was a bit of an improvement from the Everton game. It couldn't have got much worse.
Yeah.
But you're getting 5.5-1 now from 3.5-1. I think both teams will score. And probably because United are at home, I'm sure plenty of people will think that's a very decent enhancement.
Yeah, we'll go into that game in a bit more detail in a bit. And the other offer then, Liverpool play Huddersfield tonight at Anfield. Liverpool to score 4 or more goals is now 6-4. And Huddersfield are 33-1. They've won 3 games all season. This is what you call a home banker, and I suppose where you're trying to get some value is how many goals you score.
How many goals you score, and 6-4 from an odds-on shot is a huge enhancement. And Liverpool again now tonight, they know that they must win. I think we'll all agree, the three of us, that they will win. I saw Huddersfield against a second-string Tottenham Hotspur, and Spurs put 4 by them. It could have been a lot more. So Liverpool at home tonight under the lights at Anfield. The place will be rocking, and I think 4 goals is a huge possibility.
Okay, right. You were both here last week, lads, so we can have a look at the bets. Last week's bets, we'll get them up on screen. I wasn't here, so I can have a pop at you now, lads. Right, let's look at Leon's bet. You went for Arsenal, Wolves and Bournemouth to win.
Yeah, it didn't really work out. I think that's the best thing to say about that treble. It was shocking. Arsenal at home to Palace. I think we all felt with Arsenal's superb home record that they were going to get the home win. Wolves obliged, Bournemouth didn't. So, yeah, that was a shocking treble by Leon last week.
Yeah, John Duggan was in this chair last week and, you know, he gambled with the head rather than the heart. He went for Manchester City to win against his beloved Tottenham, -2, and it was a 1-0 win and a very nervy win. But
yeah, I think I've said it here before, the City aren't beating teams out the gate at the moment. You know, they're kind of happy enough once they get a 1-0 lead to sit on it. They've done it in a few games of late. And obviously there was the goal fest in the game before that.
Yeah.
But in the Premier League generally, they've not been blowing teams out of the water.
No, well, we get to your bet now, Stephen, and speaking of blowing teams out the water, you were at Goodison Park for the Everton-Man U game, 4-0 win. So it was Bournemouth and Fulham that let you down.
Mm.
You know, Fulham have decided to start winning games now.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
And like, keeping clean sheets.
Yeah, I've been at Fulham as well and they've been just awful. But is it just a case, I think, where there's a few players that are maybe playing for next season. There's a couple of lads, they've got about 6 loan players. Obviously, Babel's there as well. I think there might be lads just like they know they need to either get a new deal next season or find a new club next season, and they're starting to put a shift in now. And Scott Parker just seems to have rallied the troops as well. Bournemouth are just so inconsistent. You don't know what to make of Bournemouth, really.
It's amazing.
2 wins in 11, I think, in the last 11 games.
There were 6 at one stage this season.
Yeah.
And just that form at the start of the season was so good.
That's kept them up.
That's kept them up.
Yeah.
And actually, they were in Kevin Coban's bet. He didn't win, but sure. Some things don't change. He had Manchester City, Bournemouth and Wolves, so obviously he was let down there by Bournemouth.
By Bournemouth, yeah. And I think even like looking at the City game, like Steve has been saying this for a month now, that they are only just winning 1, but even against Spurs when they got that early goal after, what was it, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Foden scored.
Yeah.
I think everyone was thinking, okay, wow, you know, maybe City will kick on here and get 2 or 3, but they didn't. And if anything, The chances Spurs created in the first half, dubious penalty decision in the second half, could have been given. City were very lucky to get by Spurs, and that could be the winning of the league. Because I didn't expect United to do anything, but I really felt Spurs, with the heartache of the Champions League knockout, I thought Spurs could have got something last Saturday. But three games to go, still a lot to play for.
Yeah, and let's get into it now. Right, Liverpool, Huddersfield tonight, lads. You know, I think we've all pretty much given this as a home win, which puts Liverpool then onto 91 points. Any team that's got 90 points or more, there's been eight of them in previous Premier League campaigns, they've all gone on to win the league. 89 points is the highest amount of points that somebody has had as a runner-up, and that was United 2012.
Goal difference.
And that was the Sergio Aguero year. So that's the kind of standard Liverpool have set. Leon, what happens if they don't win the league? Is it going to have any impact? Now, obviously, they're still in the Champions League, but say, for example, they come second and Barcelona knocked them out of the Champions League. Will that have a knock-on effect for next season?
I think when you look at it, Phil, you make a very good... you raise a very good question in terms of Liverpool have got to three finals under Jurgen Klopp. They've won none. They are challenging for the Premier League. I think if you finish with 97 points, you can't call it a disappointment.
Or a failure. Some people are going to say it's a failure.
No, I mean, listen, over 38 games, if you end up with 97 points, you've done your absolute utmost to try and win a Premier League. If Man City get 98, by the way, having got 100 last year, that says a lot about Man City as well. Because last year they strolled to a league title, but this year they've had someone on their neck the entire almost campaign, and they had to bring back a 7-point deficit as well. So whoever wins this league will be worthy champions. But I do feel Liverpool this year need to win something. And the good thing about it is they play Huddersfield before City play Burnley. They play Newcastle before City play Leicester. And that keeps them in with a shout going towards the last day. But it also puts a huge focus on the Champions League. You're in the semi-final now, Phil. You want to win the Champions League. I know Liverpool fans as I am, I would take a Premier League, but at the end of the day, if we finish second on 97 points and win a Champions League, that's a remarkable season. And that gives your players confidence going into next year. If you don't win any, I think some of those players who've been there for four or five seasons will just start to question, are we ever going to win something?
Yeah, and Stephen, like if you think about that, like I think back to when they came up short in 09, that summer, Alonso goes to Real Madrid. Like he was key in that team. 2014, they miss out. Suarez goes. I'm not sure I can see any of those players leaving this summer. But say, for example, people are trying to unsettle Liverpool by saying that Mo Salah has fallen out with Jurgen Klopp. It seems to be rubbish.
No, he's going nowhere.
But even if someone like Salah went, I think what Klopp has done and the way he has invested, you have a bit more confidence in Liverpool actually not being the one-season wonder. Like when they have finished second in previous campaigns, they can never back it up.
Well, like if you're a big player that is worthy of a move this season, a European player, so say, for instance, De Ligt at Ajax, he's been linked with Liverpool. And if you're looking at, you know, the Premier League is, it's either the Premier League or else Barcelona or Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at the Premier League, which club are you going to play for? Who are you most attracted to? It's either Manchester City or Liverpool. They're the two best teams in the league. Jurgen Klopp is a fantastic coach. He's a proven trophy winner. It might take him a couple of seasons. Like I keep going back to Alex Ferguson as well. Now, I'm not saying Jurgen Klopp is going to achieve the feats of the great Alex Ferguson, but it took him 4 or 5 years to build a team there to win a Premier League title. He went there in 86. They won their first title in 92, 93. The evidence is there that Jurgen Klopp is building something. You know, as Leon mentioned there, you know, City haven't run away with the title this season. They've been held to the pin of their collar, pushed to the pin of their collar by Liverpool. If City win, it's only going to be by a point. I still haven't written Liverpool off yet because City have to play a couple of, you know, games like Burnley and Leicester. They're not gimmies for Manchester City, especially the way they're playing. And I'm just looking at Liverpool and thinking they are building something. If you're a Liverpool player there, you don't want to leave that club. You want to stay there because you see signs that you are getting better. You're improving season on season. And as Leon says, if they don't win the league, they still have a brilliant chance to win the Champions League. And that's going to be that'll be an amazing season for them to finish off like that. So I just think, don't write Klopp and this Liverpool side off yet, even if they don't win the title, because there is a title. And look at City as well. Like they've a couple of players like David Silva, Sergio Aguero, company. These lads are on the wrong side of 30 now. You know, they're going to be going soon. Liverpool have a squad of players there that are all at the right age now. They're all mid-20s, late-20s, and they're going to be there for another 3 or 4 seasons.
And I think crucially as well, Phil, adding to that point about the age of the squad, if you take out the likes of Milner and you take even out Jordan Henderson, the average age is only around 25. I mean, it's a very, probably even younger, actually. I mean, it's a very young squad. But I also feel as well, with them getting back to the semi-finals of the Champions League, with them challenging for Premier League, FSG are going to back him again in the summer.
This just a little aside, and it mightn't count for much, but Liverpool look like they're on the verge as well of signing this new deal with Nike for £750 million. Now, that's going to be the biggest shirt sponsor deal ever signed in England. You know, these companies don't do that for no reason. They know, they can see that this Liverpool team is going to be around for a while, and Nike aren't going to back them, you know, for, you know, if they think that they're not going to be around for the next few seasons.
Well, just looking at tonight's game, I think, you know, it's a home banker. Is there anything? There's a few things that stand out. Sadio Mane, he's evens to have 2 or more shots on target. That's just something that caught my eye because I think he's going to score. And he could score too.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's now almost not the go-to man because Salah has popped up in the last couple of games with big goals, Southampton and Chelsea. But Mane, you just look at Mane, how he's playing at the minute, Phil. This is the best I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
He's got so much confidence in his own ability at the minute. And I think Jurgen Klopp has fed that. He's actually, you know, you see, I mean, he's not afraid to do anything. He'll take on players, he'll pass players. And what I love about him the most, he's not afraid to put his foot in. He's a tough, tough player. He's 11-4 to score first. Salah's 5-2, and Firmino is 7-2. And you look at the front three, and people even said against Porto away, take them off, Jurgen, but he doesn't. He leaves them on.
He started Origi away.
He did, but I'm saying with Salah and Mane, like Salah has 19, Mane has 18 in the Premier League. There's 37 goals between them two. Yeah. But he knows the more they play, the more likely they are to score, which keeps their confidence at an all-time high. I think Jurgen Klopp's man management and even game management of players has been nothing short of exceptional. Yeah.
The only
season.
Thing I'd say about Mane is he needs to add assists to his game. He's got 18 goals and 1 assist. One assist all season.
Why pass there?
And this is the thing.
He can score goals.
He's so frustrating, though, sometimes because he does butcher opportunities when he doesn't pass to a teammate. And he always, do you know what I mean? So he needs to. And if I was Klopp, I'd be kind of pulling him aside and say, look, you need to make a better decision when you're in around the box. If you find a teammate that's free, give the ball to him because, you know, that could have been the difference between Liverpool winning all those games they drew earlier in the season.
Yeah, OK, so that's tonight's game at Anfield. So if Liverpool win, as we all expect them to win, they go to 91 points, 2 ahead of Manchester City. City away to Burnley on Sunday, 2:05. And you think back to last season, it was a 1-1 draw. Stephen, can you give Liverpool fans any comfort in what Burnley can do on Sunday?
Well, look, I know Chelsea maybe aren't a great example to hold up in this kind of situation, but Chelsea are a big club. Stamford Bridge is a pretty intimidating ground to go to. And Burnley really had, you know, they played really well. And I thought, like, you know, Chris Wood actually, we spoke about it during the week, he butchered a brilliant chance to give Burnley a 3-2 lead in the second half. So Burnley could have actually won that game. I know they're safe now, but I just think Turf Moor, they're playing, it's a local derby.
They'll love it. I've been to Turf Moor to games and it's lively and they love nothing more than annoying the big guns.
Yeah.
I was just thinking as well.
Ashley Barnes as well in great form. I know Ashley, you're a big Barnes. Fan as well, Phil.
Ashley Barnes, you can imagine if he was to score, like he'd be the second favourite Barnes on Merseyside after a challenge. But I was actually thinking during the week, Joe Hart was talking about the fact that City have to play Burnley. He was in the Sky Studios and I thought, could you imagine Sean Dyche decides to play Joe Hart on Sunday? The uproar.
Well, Phil, for any Liverpool fan out there, please God he doesn't play Joe Hart because he's been nothing short of appalling when he's got his chance at Burnley. If you look at a game like this, like Burnley are 25-1. City are 1-8. Now, obviously,
what's the draw? Because that's what Liverpool fans are hoping for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the draw is a big price. It's 15-2, 7.5-1. Look, Turf Moor is a tight pitch. You know what Burnley are going to do. They're going to go 4-4-2, but it's going to be a very rigid bank of four in front of the back four. and then they're going to hit long balls. I think Guardiola kind of mentioned it post-United, we've got to try and stop balls coming in to the box. But look, you'd still fancy City. To be fair to Man City, I have to give them an awful lot of credit, because that must have been heartbreaking going out of the Champions League. They weren't at their best against Spurs, but they got over the line. Mm. They were very good against United in terms of the last 10 minutes of the first half and almost the entire second half. Yes, you might say the opposition wasn't great. The one thing Burnley will do that United didn't do, they'll snap into challenges. Yeah. They'll be right up for this. And as you rightly said, Sean Dyche loves nothing more than to beat the big guys. Mm. And even if they were to get a draw, that'll do Liverpool.
Yeah, and Ashley Barnes has 11 goals in the league this season. Chris Wood has 10. That's going to be the game plan, get them in. So you'd imagine, Steve-O, that Vincent Kompany, I was very surprised to see him in the team the other night, because I just, the thoughts of Rashford going up against him, but having Kompany in against Burnley actually makes sense.
I thought he was poor the other night.
Oh, he was awful,
yeah,
I thought.
I thought he was really poor. He just looked very nervy, yeah. Very shaky. And
he is not a Pep Guardiola defender.
No,
he's not
his legs,
with the ball
no,
his
he's
feet,
not, and as well, his legs are gone.
Yeah, but he'll suit facing Wood and Barnes on Sunday.
Yeah, there'll definitely be a physical battle there to be had. You're looking at midfield then as well, though, Phil. Like, say, I think McNeil could get a bit of joy maybe against Kyle Walker down that left hand side for Burnley. He's had a brilliant season. Yeah. You know what a find he's been for Burnley. Our own Jeff Hendrick, he seems to have found a little bit of form. I would have been critical of him only a matter of weeks ago. But what a goal he scored against Chelsea the other night. And that'll do his confidence great good. He's had a couple of goals there in the last few weeks. So, look, and again, Tarkowski and me, wow, they were absolutely brilliant against... They conceded goals against Chelsea, but they're playing really well there together. It's maybe a full-back, maybe it's where Burnley have some issues, maybe on the right-hand side.
Yeah, and you wonder, like, will Fernandinho be missing? Probably. Mm. So you can imagine that he'll probably stick Gunga then in front of the back four, whoever they may be, and then put the two Silvas in the middle and play Sané, Aguero and Sterling. And Sané is pretty unfortunate not to get more game time. He's now got 10 goals and 10 assists. That's a remarkable return for a guy who hasn't started that many games. And for him to come off the bench, yes, the keeper was poor, but that doesn't matter. He was the one who popped up with the goal. I think he's certainly the start on Sunday.
Yeah, and we saw as well the way Darmian and the United defence all got sucked away from that right-hand side. And Sané just, he had so much space to run into the other night. And I just don't, a Burnley team managed by Sean Dyche has got to give that kind of space.
So, right, picture this now. It's a Sunday afternoon. If you're a Liverpool fan and you've a few things to do, like, you know, you haven't done the shopping or the dog needs to be walked, do you stay in and watch it? Or do you go out and think Burnley having a chance?
I said, look, I'm a neutral in this. I've no club in the Premier League, but I said I'd be glued to the TV on Sunday. As a Liverpool fan, I'm sure. Look, it's they probably the nails must be gone as it is. There must be no more nails to bite, and they've got a big game as well, of course, coming up themselves after the Huddersfield game this week in the Champions League. So, yeah, they might want to save whatever is left of those nails for during the week.
No, I'll watch it.
Okay, well, obviously that's the game that's at 2:05, and now you'll be able to hear it on Off the Ball and News Talk. And then straight after, you've Manchester United and Chelsea, 4:30, Old Trafford. We touched on this race for the top four. It's ridiculous. It's like a sprint where everyone just keeps stopping.
Yeah. I mean, even Spurs against Brighton.
Yeah.
You know, it took a moment of magic from Christian Eriksen, and that's what it was, like, with his left peg to hit it so sweetly right into the corner. I mean, he's crucial for Spurs if they ever want to build on something going forward. But looking at this game, as a bookmaker, you're going to lay all three possible outcomes. Home win, away win, and draw. I just think with Chelsea, they have really not really taken advantage of the slip-ups of the sides around them. And I know, he's won nothing, Maurizio Sarri. And they're looking at the Europa League, I've no doubt, as trying to win something as players. But try and get in the top four first. Mm. Try and guarantee your spot almost. If you finish top four, you're going to be playing Champions League. But it's just with United. Like, Paul Pogba has been named on the team of the year, which I think is the biggest farce of the entire season.
Unfortunately, the voting is done at a certain time, and he was scoring goals, he was banging in goals against Bournemouth and Huddersfield.
Yeah, but even then, Phil, I mean, that doesn't give him the right to play or to get in the first 11. But what that's going to do for his head over the next few days, he's just going to believe in more of his hype. And I'd love to see Solskjaer drop him. I'd love to see him drop him for this game on Sunday, but he won't. He'll play him. And I just wonder, is he the one controlling the dressing room now? Yeah. Is he the one that the young players... Like, I thought the boys made a very good point the other night. Who are the leaders in that dressing room? Like, who does Rashford, to a lesser extent, Lingard or even Martial, or... Like, who do these young kids look around their dressing room to go, who's going to show me I want to be like you?
Yeah, and I also thought as well, it was interesting, Pat Nevin was on with Joe Malloy on Off the Ball on Monday, and Pat, he can be always very insightful in these kind of situations, but he was saying that it's nearly like this rot has just, you know, spread throughout the team, and that he said, like, you know, when he was playing himself, you know, and if he was in a situation like that, maybe at a club, you're in a situation in a match, you go for a tackle, you know, you don't win it. You're waiting for your support player behind you to come in and help you out. Then he doesn't bother. And then you're like, well, you know, he's made me look like an idiot now, so why should I keep trying? And it just looks like that's what's happening at United at the moment. And I just, and look, I'm not having a go at United. I said, like, I don't support any club in the Premier League. I feel sorry for United fans. I know it must be tough after having all that success under Fergie and the way things are going. Look, this rot goes right, it goes so deep into this club. We all know what the problem is. It's up at the top. The Glazers and Ed Woodward, you know, they've just turned it, as Louis van Gaal said in a recent interview, they've turned it from a football club into a commercial club. It's all about making money. Edward Woodward has overseen some terrible signings at their club. There's no, there doesn't seem to be any method at all in what they're doing. They're not building anything. It's just like buying players willy-nilly. And it's killing the club.
It's no strategy.
And they need to get somebody in there quick to try and stop it. But the game itself, look, Chelsea...
Is he going to go with Hazard as a false nine, which never really seems to work? But United love it. I mean, you think of the Liverpool game, Hazard didn't come alive till...
He was pushed out left.
Higuain hasn't been good since he signed for Chelsea. He hasn't been great. He scored goals against poor teams. But... I know as a manager you don't see your players kind of getting all testy in front of the crowd and all that, but you saw Higuain getting really annoyed there, frustrated, getting taken off against Burnley. At least it means he cares. That there's something there. And look, that United back four is so bad that why not just give Higuain a shot? Give Giroud. Throw one of those on.
Well, Hazard player, he prefers playing with Giroud, Hazard. Yeah. And also you're going to have an interesting situation where United are all over the back pages today about players wanting to leave Pogba. Actually, Solskjaer was asked about him in the last hour and he said he's now very determined to succeed at United. He's talking about Pogba. Now, to quote Roy Keane, he wouldn't believe a word that Pogba said. But you're going to have a situation where you've got Pogba and Hazard on the same pitch, both being linked with Real Madrid. Yeah. I wonder, will they be talking to each other on the pitch saying, well, if we both go there, at least, you know, we can take it in turns to decide who downs tools. Because for all the talent they have, now Hazard is head and shoulders above Pogba. He has down...
There was people saying he should be in the PFA team of the year. And sure, he disappeared for about 10 games only a couple of months ago. Yeah. It's only the last few weeks where he started to show a bit of form. And it's like, you know, people just... You got to look at the season.
There it is up on the screen, Steve-O. Yeah. Like, I mean...
It's incredible.
I mean, you'd have to agree with almost the back five.
Yeah,
right back.
Some Irish people might say Matt Doherty should be in there instead of...
Well, you see, like, Doherty, he's probably unfortunate because he plays wing back.
As a wing back. I actually think Doherty's a better defender than Alexander Arnold.
But I certainly wouldn't have had Pogba in there. And, you know, Mo Salah, even though he didn't hit the heights of last season...
I think you'd go for Mane ahead of Salah.
I'd have Mane. I don't know whether I'd have Aguero. I just don't know because, I mean, how many goals does he get with Penos? Salah's got 19. I don't think there's many penalties in there. For a guy who's supposed to be having an off season, he's still joint top scorer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it's a tough call.
I'd probably, yeah, it is.
But you'd probably go Aguero because he's a number nine. Probably,
I think that the Mane inclusion, I'd have no complaints with that as well. Yeah. I think he's even been more important than Salah this season for Liverpool. So just in terms of this top four race, looking at the points, so Spurs are on 70 points, then you have Chelsea on 67, Arsenal on 66 and United on 64. So if United were to win, they'd go level on points to Chelsea, but they have an inferior goal difference. However, they play Huddersfield and Cardiff. Like, it's amazing to think how bad United have been, win their last three games, and I think they get top four.
Yeah, well, they're the outsider of four to make the top four. They're 11-2 at the moment. Hmm. Now, you're pretty much... I know I don't want to tempt fate with Cardiff and Huddersfield, but you would say if they... were to beat Chelsea, as you rightly said, they'll get 9 points. So you're pretty much taking 11-2 about them beating Chelsea.
Yeah.
Like 5-4 Arsenal, 8-11 Chelsea. Spurs are 1-33. Yeah, look, I think Spurs will get there because of that late winner against Brighton. They're at home to West Ham this week. I think they'll just get over the line against West Ham. But yeah, I mean,
Spurs and Chelsea.
Spurs and Chelsea.
I just think United are just, they haven't shown me anything the last couple of weeks. Like, I was at the game last week at Goodison. It was shocking, really shocking. And they're just not playing for each other. And if you're not playing for each other as a team, you know, you're not going to get the results. And
Chelsea, after the trip to Old Trafford, Watford at home, and then they've Leicester away in the final day of the season, and Leicester have already beaten them this season.
Yeah, but again, they're definitely losable games, but I think Chelsea have shown themselves that when they need to get results this season, as average as they've been at times, when they need to get the results, they will get them.
Yeah, but there's Arsenal as well.
Yeah, let's talk about Arsenal. They're away to Leicester, right? They've kept one clean sheet away from home this season, and even that was lucky. They won 1-0 away to Watford. And Watford played most of the game with 10 men and caused them all sorts of problems, hit the woodwork as well.
I think I was looking at this one and kind of thinking, I like both the score over 2.5 here because I think it's just under evens. And like Leicester do need to win. I think Rodgers does want to get in that top seven and get that Europa League place. You know, Arsenal have been terrible away from home. I know they got that win at Napoli, but that's an anomaly. Shocking. Napoli are absolutely awful. Ancelotti has killed Napoli.
Yeah.
They're gone. They're losing to like really average sides in Serie A at the moment.
They might get top four, yeah.
Winning at Napoli is no great achievement.
No, and look how poor they were, Steve, away to Wolves.
How are they so bad away from home when they, apart from last week's defeat to Palace, only City had won at the Emirates. So how are they so bad away from home? How does the mentality change so much?
I don't think they have lads to get stuck in, do they? The little guy in the middle of the park who's still
Torreira. I've been at the Emirates a couple of times. The atmosphere is actually pretty good there at the moment. I do think that helps them a bit.
You go to the big games that. Only, though, Steve.
But it's like, in fairness, they have got the home support there. It is behind them, and it's just you know these Arsenal players. I just think they enjoy playing at home. When they get away, they're kind of away from home comforts. It's silly little things really that can kind of contribute to this. They back-to-back wins, or sorry, defeats in the last two games. We spoke about that Watford game. Like, Deeney got sent off early in that game.
I had actually tipped Watford to win. And
they should have won. Watford dominated that game.
Should have won even with 10 men.
So the goal was ridiculous as well.
They dominated that match with 10 men. So Arsenal, they're lily-livered.
I actually fancy Leicester here.
Yeah.
I think Leicester, but I do like what Steve-O says, I think both can score. Because they both have a lot of attacking threat at their disposal. But I just think Leicester and the way Arsenal play, Arsenal are just so soft.
Yeah.
You know you're going to have a nice game of football. No one's going to get in there and smack you hard in the first few minutes.
You know what? If Troy Deeney likes, you know, getting at this Arsenal defence, Jamie Vardy will.
Absolutely.
He nearly joined them. Imagine. Yeah. Right. Let's put our money where our mouths are because, you know, here we are giving our little bits, but now it's time to look at this week's bets. This is really, we'll see who comes out top. We'll start with Kevin Kilvan. He's not here, but he actually fancies Leicester to beat Arsenal on Sunday, and he's actually going for United as well to beat Chelsea. So that's coming in at 5-1, and both games on Sunday, back-to-back, and that's Kevin's one. I've gone for the Tottenham and West Ham game. I'm actually going for a draw. I think Spurs have one eye on the Ajax game. Now, I know Heung-Min Son will play because he's suspended for the first leg. Mm-mm. West Ham are not very good away from home. I thought they put in a good performance against United. They will love to come to the new stadium and score the first goal.
Spoil the party.
Also as well, spoil the party, make Spurs sweat a little bit as well. They always raise their game. They got a 1-1 draw at Wembley last season in the league. They've been beaten twice by Spurs. They'll be up for this. So that's the one I've gone for.
Yeah, and Spurs at the minute, with their kind of injuries and their problems, they do look a little bit jaded. But I do feel this game, if they can win this game, it almost secures top four.
Yeah, that's the better goal difference.
Yeah,
as well,
so it's probably, you know, and as you said, Son will play because he won't play.
Yeah. Unless they decide he's too important that they just wrap him up in cotton wool until the second leg.
He has to play Saturday.
I'd imagine he has to play.
Yeah. He had his chances last week as well against City. You know, he's in good form again.
Okay, Steve, let's look at your one. Southampton to win.
I've gone against you here, Phil.
Yeah,
Southampton. Yeah, I like you there.
And you've gone for Tottenham to win. So Southampton are playing Bournemouth. And I remember they beat them last season at St Mary's. And it was a real crucial win. Actually, Dusan Tadic, who is banging in goals for Ajax, was the match winner that day.
And yeah.
Spurs to beat West Ham. So that comes in at 3-1.
You have a better memory than me, Phil. Yeah, it's like, I think it might actually just be about, yeah, it's a 3-1. Look, Aki and Stanislas played fullback in last week's match against Fulham. They've got terrible injuries there. At Bournemouth, 2 wins in their last 11 games. Like you mentioned their form earlier on in the show. So yeah, look, I just think Southampton still aren't mathematically safe. So I think this is the kind of game now where
there's Shane Long is on fire.
Shane Long is on fire. Certainly is. I'm delighted for him because I heard his confidence at the Irish camp wasn't great, and I felt sorry for him because he's such a nice fella, Shane Long. Yeah. He really is, and I just want him to get into a bit of form now, and hopefully next season he'll be there. Because I think Hasenhüttl likes him.
He's perfect for a Hasenhüttl game.
Yeah, definitely.
And if he starts adding goals, why wouldn't he still be there, Leon? You've also gone for Southampton to win, and the other part of your bet then is Brighton and Newcastle to draw. That's a massive game, that Brighton-Newcastle game.
It is. I mean, but I can see Chris Hughton playing for a draw. And the reason I'm saying that is because they're 3 clear of Cardiff at the minute. Yeah.
Better goal difference. Cardiff play Fulham at 3:00 tomorrow at Craven Cottage. If Cardiff win that, Brighton are up the...
Yeah, they are. And look, they were very unlucky not to get a point at the new White Hart Lane. You know, 88 or 89 minutes. Yeah. That would have been a great draw. But I can just see him at the minute, Chris Hughton, going back to basics. And that is, make us hard to beat. If they just keep picking up, they've got Newcastle. I don't know who their penultimate game is.
Oh, it's just a trip to the Emirates to play Arsenal. And then... Yeah. Finish with Man City. That's why I think if Cardiff win, and Cardiff then still have to play Palace in Cardiff next weekend, I think if Cardiff beat Fulham tomorrow, Brighton are could be doomed. Mm.
They could be, but I just don't think they have enough to beat Newcastle at home. I think Newcastle at the moment are playing with a bit of freedom. They have lost Almiron, but...
They're saving themselves for next week.
Well, listen, sure, Rafael roll over there for Liverpool. There'll be no doubt about that.
I just look,
it's 5-1.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I'd like to see Brighton stay in it. I'd love to see Brighton needing a point the last game of the season at home to City. Just put up the wall, you know, and just try and kick everything long with Shane Duffy, you know. But look, we'll wait and see.
Okay, that is all we have time for. That's all the bets there. Instead, if you are having a bet over the weekend, remember, gamble responsibly and enjoy all the football, because hopefully there could be a few twists and turns over the weekend in all the races, the title race, the relegation battle and the race for the top four.
Bohemia's going for the title tonight as well, Phil Steele against Waterford.
Yeah, well, look, at Steele. They'll be hoping Dundalk do them a favour. And then we'll have ourselves a proper title race as well. Big win for them the other night. But we'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, take care.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.